Will Julian Assange be extradited after all? The founder of the WikiLeaks website sought sanctuary in London for years. Now the US has won its appeal in Britain to have him stand trial for leaking American secrets. But what are the risks of his transatlantic extradition? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the program. I'm Kim Vanell. A travesty of justice is how Amnesty International describes it. Dangerous and misguided, says Julian Assange's partner. She says the founder of the WikiLeaks website is planning a last-gasp appeal to Britain's highest court to stop extradition to the United States. Britain's Supreme Court is said to have the final verdict on the fate of the 50-year-old Australian. That's after the High Court in London overturned an earlier ruling that he would be a suicide risk if his sanctuary in Britain finally ends. The whistleblower faces up to 175 years in a US prison if he is finally extradited and eventually convicted of leaking American military secrets. Nadine Barber has more from London.
For supporters of Julian Assange, it's a worrying moment. Two judges at the High Court in London have ruled the WikiLeaks founder can be extradited to the United States to face espionage charges. Assange's partner, with whom he has two young children, was there to hear the decision.
It's been almost a year since I stood outside court with our victory of the blocking of the extradition. For the past year and the past year, 2 years and a half, Julian has remained in Belmarsh prison, and in fact, he has been detained since the 7th of December 2010 in one form or another, 11 years. For how long can this go on?
The decision's based on assurances presented by lawyers for the US government at October's appeal hearing. They said Assange wouldn't be subject to solitary confinement or held at a maximum security prison. They also said they had diplomatic assurances he could serve any prison sentence in his native Australia. Judges here effectively decided there was now no reason to believe Assange would be a clear suicide risk, which the original ruling had found. The US wants Assange to face trial over the release in 2010 of thousands of classified military documents relating to the US wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. But Amnesty International has denounced the decision, saying the US charges represent a serious threat to press freedom, something echoed by his supporters.
WikiLeaks was an organization of whistleblowers that made it absolutely safe and secure for whistleblowers to bring the truth to the public.
All he has done is tell the truth and done his job right. He's upset the elites, but he has done his job to tell us what's going on.
This decision is clearly a big setback for the campaign to free Julian Assange. But it's already taken years to get to this point, and it could be a long time before we know definitively whether he'll be sent to the United States.
The case has been sent back to the lower court so a judge can refer the extradition to Home Secretary Priti Patel. But Julian Assange's legal team say they'll try to lodge an appeal with the Supreme Court, challenging the American assurances that he won't be treated inhumanely. Nadine Barber, Al Jazeera, London.
The espionage case against Julian Assange goes back to 2010. He's wanted in the United States for publishing thousands of secret American military and diplomatic documents. But allegations of rape and sexual assault made by two women in Sweden led to his arrest in London. To avoid extradition to stand trial, in 2012, Assange sought refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy until 2019. He was immediately arrested by British police. He's been in a high-security prison in London ever since. All right, let's bring in our guests. In Washington, we have Max Blumenthal, editor of thegrayzone.com, an online news website dedicated to original investigative journalism and analysis. In Reykjavik, in Iceland, we have Kristin Klubson, editor-in-chief of WikiLeaks. And in Geneva, we have Nils Melzer, UN Special Rapporteur on Torture and Professor of International Law at the University of Glasgow. A very warm welcome to you all. Thank you for joining us on Inside Story. I'd like to begin with you, Kristin Klubson. I just want to get your reaction to this ruling. Did you think it was going to go this way?
Well, I've learned the hard way not to keep my hopes very high, so it didn't come as a surprise. But this is devastating result, and especially ironic that this is be handed down on the United Nations Human Rights Day, and on the same day that two other journalists are getting the Nobel Peace Prize in Oslo. This, of course, is devastating for Julian and for his family, but furthermore, it's devastating for press freedom worldwide. And that is the main reason why all major human rights organizations in the world, press freedom organizations, organizations that fight for human rights, have condemned this this manhunt, this politically motivated persecution against Julian Assange.
Mr. Grabson, has anyone spoken actually directly to Mr. Assange? Do we have any word of how he's dealing with this news?
I haven't been able to speak with him directly. He is, of course, in maximum security prison in southeast London. But I hear that, of course, he is willing to keep the fight going. And, of course, that will be done. There was a mention of the appeal to the Supreme Court of this High Court decision, but there is also the possibility to appeal the new decision, which we are waiting in the lower court, in the Magistrate Court. And at that point, actually, the lawyers for Julian Assange have the for the first time the ability in the appeal court to lay out all of the arguments that have been missed so far, arguments that should play a major role in how this is handled and support our definition of this as a political persecution. And I'm referring to CIA plans that have been now about kidnapping or assassinating even Julian Assange in London, etc.
Yeah, we're going to talk about those reports a little bit later, I know, as well, because Max Blumenthal has also done stories on the same thing. First, I'd like to bring you in Nils Melzer. Can you explain the legal side of this ruling for us? Because this wasn't about whether what Assange did was legal or not, right? This was about American assurances of how he would be treated should he be extradited and convicted.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, obviously this is a very disappointing decision, but it by and large confirms the conclusions and observations of my official investigation of this case for the past 2.5 years as a independent UN expert, that this really is not about the law. This is not about a legitimate prosecution. It actually is a politically motivated persecution of an inconvenient truth teller, to put it simply.
So if the UN can find if the UN can come to that finding, then why has the court found something different?
Well, what we can see here is that really the state institutions are, by and large, are protecting the interests of those particular governments rather than respecting international law. And that is the most scandalous aspect of this, that countries that normally claim to be exemplary in terms of human rights protection and the rule of law tradition have betrayed those principles in order to protect the impunity of their officials for crimes and corruption.
Max Blumenthal, I'd like to bring you in. I mean, there are so many murky dealings in this story over the years, over many years. We'll talk about your investigations in a moment. But first, I want to ask you, given everything you know about this case, how do you expect this to progress? How do you expect it to go for Assange when it goes ultimately to the Supreme Court?
Well, first of all, I thank Al Jazeera for convening this panel. This is the press freedom trial of the century, and it's been treated with a giant shrug by the media here inside the Beltway in Washington. And the details are not murky. We know, and we'll discuss more later, that the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, did discuss murdering Julian Assange. Its agents have spied on him and his lawyers. And this has grave implications for any fair trial in a court that has handled many national security trials, appears to be a tool of the national security state in the U.S., where defendants have something like a 99.7% conviction rate. And these are, you know, the defendants brought in during the war on terror who are whose fate has already been sealed. So there's no question in my mind that Julian Assange's fate has already been sealed, that what we're witnessing is actually a state security operation, a transatlantic operation to silence and disappear Julian Assange laundered behind a judicial masquerade.
Let's talk a little bit more about those reports that have come out over the years. As we say, there were investigations to find that the CIA plotted to kidnap Assange and that there were discussions around how he might be assassinated. Tell us about your investigation, Mr. Blumenthal, about the, correct me if I'm wrong, but the contractor who essentially flipped to provide information to the US. What does that tell you about what's going on behind the scenes?
In late 2019, a Spanish former special forces officer and self-described mercenary who was leading the security firm providing security, supposed security, to Julian Assange and the Ecuadorian embassy where he was seeking asylum in London, was arrested by Spanish National Police. This is David Morales of the UC Global firm. He was put on trial in Spanish National Court, and what emerged from those proceedings was the reality that David Morales had been contracted by the CIA to spy on Julian Assange, to spy on his meetings with his lawyer in violation of attorney-client privilege. There were burglaries, possibly even of Julian Assange's counsel, his legal team, and there were discussions of killing Julian Assange, assassinating him in the embassy, and these instructions came down from higher-ups. That detail emerged in my May 2020 report for thegrayzone.com through the testimony that I acquired, witness testimony of a former business partner of David Morales. We also know that Stella Morris, Julian Assange's partner, was followed and essentially hunted along with other Assange associates by these CIA assets. So that report that I issued in May 2020 was confirmed by around 30 current and former U.S. intelligence officials in Yahoo News this year. And so what we have is confirmation that the United States government, through its intelligence arm, its state security service, had discussed murdering someone whose extradition it is seeking. In addition, it spied on him and his lawyers. That means that the country to which Julian Assange has been handed over is his would-be killers. And this is absolutely, should be absolutely shocking, not only to anyone who cares about press freedom and the future of a free press, but to anyone who believes in international law. Mm-hmm. And Assange was handed over based on the assurance that he would not face de facto torture in 23-hour-a-day solitary confinement through special administrative measures or be held in a supermax prison, the Florence, Colorado prison, that a British judge had previously ruled amounted to a form of torture. So the government that had plotted to kill Julian Assange or discussed killing him has given assurances to the UK, and the UK has accepted those assurances. This is an absolute... Okay. Travesty.
I want to throw this over to Nils Melzer. We're talking about prisons. What legal caveats might be available to the American authorities should Assange end up in an American prison? As we just heard, there were some assurances that he won't go to this federal supermax prison where prisoners are kept in near total isolation. But where else could he end up? Are there ways around that?
Well, there's basically 99% of their options are still open. It's very important to understand that these assurances don't assure anything. It's just a formality. They have excluded one of their supermax prisons, the most notorious one, but they have dozens of others. So they can accommodate him in any other supermax prison with very similar facilities. They have excluded one specific isolation regime called special administrative measures, which is imposed by the Attorney General of the federal government. But they have not excluded any other isolation regime. And just to make that clear, there's about 50 people in the US under this specific regime that has been excluded, but there is about 80,000 people in solitary confinement in the US at any given moment under different regimes. So they haven't excluded any of their options. Even the guarantee that they said that he might serve, that the US government would agree to let him serve his custodial sentence in Australia, his native country, only applies, and that's the fine print, once all of the legal remedies have been exhausted. And that can last about 20 years in the US. And it still is also conditional on the Australian agreement to actually agree to that transfer. So Kristen, really, they have not excluded anything.
Okay, so there's a lot still on the table for them. Kristen Hrabsen, for a lot of Assange's supporters, this is all about the fundamentals of democracy. of freedom. What impact do you think this may have in the future on would-be whistleblowers?
Well, before I get to that, I just want to add to the so-called assurances that there is one thing missing that we haven't discussed, that actually in those assurances or so-called assurances, there is a clause that says that the United States government retains the right to change their mind at any given moment after he is arrested and transported to the United States. So it's absolutely hollow and meaningless. And every organization that's taken a deeper look at it, including Amnesty International, has come to that conclusion. You ask about the implication of this. The implication is already here. We see that it has had a chilling effect, especially on journalists. Glenn Greenwald, for example, in Brazil, has been attacked by the government in Brazil on basically the same ground as Julian Assange. We see, of course, the reputational damage to both the United Kingdom and the United States, who have now given the argument to oppressive regimes who are you to tell us that our press freedom is limited? We've heard those kind of voices from Russia, from Azerbaijan, from China. They have basically voiced this, that you do not have a leg to stand on in criticizing us because you are keeping Julian Assange in prison and you're going after him. My general feeling when it comes to whistleblowers is that they are extremely brave people, and I think they will continue to come forward. Mm-hmm. They need to go to somebody, and they need to go to somebody who is secured, and those are the journalists who need to be protected.
Nils Melzer, obviously Assange says he's a journalist. Does the law differentiate between somebody who leaks information and somebody who is a journalist, a career journalist?
Well, in international law, really, there is no difference. Anybody has a basic human right of freedom of expression, and the freedom of the press is just one variation of that. So this whole discussion on whether or not Julian Assange is a journalist, I mean, de facto, he clearly is. He probably is more of a journalist than anyone else who's keeping quiet and not challenging, you know, government misconduct. That's my personal opinion. But there is no legal criteria that would somehow give less protection to someone who isn't a journalist. Now, in national law, clearly, if you're a whistleblower, that means that you have perhaps an obligation of non-disclosure under your contractual agreements because you're an employee of a government or something. That might be give a legal obligation under national law. But even there, I mean, this is a different discussion. Julian Assange is not a whistleblower. He's a journalist, and clearly, even if you don't accept that he's a journalist, he's still entitled to freedom of expression to the same extent.
Max Blumenthal, does the U.S. not have a right to protect its military security secrets? I mean, there must be instances in which exposing everything does actually put some individuals at risk, maybe even national security at risk.
Yeah, I think here I might want to toss this to Kristen, because WikiLeaks has actually taken measures to protect the names of confidential sources in many cases, and the password for some of the Cablegate files was actually exposed by Guardian journalists, including the unscrupulous Luke Harding, who has published a completely false story at the Guardian website about Assange meeting Paul Manafort, which has yet to be retracted.
Unfortunately, we don't have him on this panel in order to be able to defend himself, so I will put this over to Kristen Clarkson.
Well, I would toss here to
Kristen, go ahead.
I will say this, that, you know, before I joined WikiLeaks in 2010 and took part in all the so-called crimes that Julian has committed, the crimes of journalism, I was a journalist for 20 years. I don't believe that I have taken part in a project before in those 20 years where such great care was taken with handling of the material, both internally at WikiLeaks and in cooperation with the mainstream media, who were our media partner and took part in this so-called crime of journalism. the media partners that were over 100 in the end, including Al Jazeera.
I just want to dismiss any allegation of
irresponsibility. That is totally false.
Sure. I mean, this is just a question that I'm asking because it's something that people at home think. Oh. You know, journalists go, when we get sensitive stories or we break anything, we go through it and we say, do we need to blur those faces? Do we need to redact those names? You know, and all those considerations are taken. So that's my question to you, is the same thing being done at WikiLeaks, you know, because that is something that is often put forward by the other side, is that, that it's about that, national security.
That was done clearly. Information was withheld. And I just want to point out one thing. For over 10 years, 11 years now, we've heard this scream that about the harm that these massive revelations, hundreds of thousands of documents, had. But there's not been a single incident where the United States government has been able to point to a death or harm, physical harm to anybody because of these releases. And you said, well, doesn't the United States military and the government have a right to protect their secrets? Well, of course they can, and they should. But do journalists have a right to publish those secrets if they are leaked to them and they are deemed to be in the public interest? Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's journalism. That's our role. That's what we're here for.
As a journalist, can I just say that the public has a right to know when abuses of power and even murder and torture are carried out in their name with their tax dollars? And were it not for WikiLeaks and Julian Assange, the case of Khaled al-Masri, who was tortured brutally and sodomized by CIA agents, this is a German citizen, in a case of mistaken identity, would have never been known because no one believed him. So what WikiLeaks has done is provided transparency and done precisely what journalists should be doing. Unfortunately, many of the journalists who have relied on WikiLeaks disclosures have now turned on Julian Assange because he's seen as having hurt the political campaign of Hillary Clinton with factual documents.
Max Blumenthal, I think we're coming to the end of time. I want to ask you this. Why do you think that this case has resonated with so many people now? There are so many people who support Julian Assange. Do you think that the timing of it, maybe there is a shift in people perhaps not trusting their governments as much as they did? I don't know. I'll put that to you.
Well, I think Julian Assange has, and what he's done and what WikiLeaks has done, has provided an intelligence agency for people that have been spied on by intelligence agencies and abused by intelligence agencies and deceived by their own media. WikiLeaks has a perfect record in disclosing factual information. So the contrast between WikiLeaks and the rest of the media is more stark than ever these days. And I think the public has responded to Julian Assange's persecution for simply embarrassing the most powerful empire in human history. And this is a real problem for the United States as it enters into this so-called great power competition with Russia and China and asserts moral superiority on the basis of its liberal democracy. As long as it continues to persecute a journalist, Russia, China, and all the U.S.'s perceived adversaries can continue to point the finger and correctly allege massive hypocrisy on the world stage.
I mean, there is so much more we could talk about. We have to leave it there, unfortunately, for time. Really great to speak with all of you. A big thank you to all of our guests, Mac Blumenthal, Kristin Klubson, and Nils Melzer. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation over on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. I'm @KimVanell. From me, Kim Vanell, and the whole team here in Doha, bye-bye for now.